Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, host of The Big Story, Canada's longest-running daily news podcast. For 6 years now, we've been telling one story a day, every one of them about something that matters to Canadians. This spring, though, we're going deeper. The Big Story presents Pay Dirt, the inside story of Ontario's Greenbelt scandal. From political games to stag and doe parties, endangered species, RCMP investigations, and Las Vegas massages, you will hear the full story straight from the people who broke it. The Big Story presents Pay Dirt. New episodes every Monday starting April 22nd, and you can get them all by following The Big Story wherever you get your podcasts.
Find your frequency.
Controversial subjects with the facts can be tense, but we are ASAP Science here to make things make sense.
Today we are talking about the controversial science of posture, standing up straight. And then our What Do We Learn This Week at the end are going to be about the new obesity drugs related to inflammation as well as empathy. You always got a song and you're my musical man.
Yeah, I don't know why. It's just the music lives within me.
How are you doing?
I'm very full. Just ate lunch. Maybe ate too much.
Oh, whoa.
And we went on a little vacation, but I feel like I got a little bit for a day of a stomach bug, and I think I'm still recovering from that.
Oh, wow. Goes on vacation once, got a stomach bug.
And now, you know, you like also change diet a lot when you come home, and I'm just like, I think it's not bad. But
all
it's
we
like,
did was eat ceviche and have pina coladas.
That's like not a lie.
It was so cool. We went to Zipolite in Mexico.
Mm-hmm. Only nude beach, I think, in Mexico.
Yeah. So we got our hogs out, referencing the Erections podcast.
It's actually the first time I've ever been nude on a beach.
Yeah, I know.
Anywhere in public, actually.
And you were adamant that you weren't going to, but it's just so invasive.
It becomes so normalized.
Yeah, I don't want to see a dick ever again. Like the dongs are everywhere that eventually you're just like, no more dongs. But that's probably rude and not to body shame and I'm canceled.
No. Like I don't disagree. Like being on that beach, dicks became so non-sexual for me.
When I saw a board short, I was like, no, that's right.
That's edgy. That's different.
And it's just like, yeah, it's just like dong. Like vaginas are so much more quaint
elegant.
It's just like dongs are just, oh my God, they're just so obtuse.
Wow.
Anyways, I obviously like love my dick, but like whatever. It's like, this is not the Erections podcast. Should we move on? But it's a really cool beach. It's called Zipolite and it's like very gay and fun and we had an amazing time.
Yeah, it seems like it's sort of like a lot of our friends had just been there and it sounds like a lot. I feel like it's
And every time we were like,
popular.
We're Canadian, everyone was like, there's so many Canadians. And it's like, truly everyone here is from Toronto and it's just because it's a direct flight and it's so warm.
Yeah, it's nice.
And it's inexpensive and
And it's not an all-inclusive, you know what I mean? It's like getting to go somewhere warm, but there is like a cute town that feels
you're not
like not
an all-inclusive where you're like, okay, I just paid to be in jail and like I'm absolutely locked away and there's so much tension here and everyone's screaming and the food's bad. The food was so good.
Yeah, it was amazing.
And it definitely has like hippie vibes and everyone's like, don't let anyone know about Zipolite, but we just told everyone in the podcast.
And our audience is gonna absolutely take over Zipolite.
We did like dance to like techno with like a bunch of people who were seemingly on mushrooms and like it's very white person with dreads.
Yeah, but it's like it's straight people, but they're like free spirited.
No, they're bi. They're not straight.
That's what I mean. But it's not. There's lots of gay people there, but there's obviously a bit of a distinction between like the gay men, as like there's an area you go where all the gay men hang out.
Yeah.
And then there's other bars and stuff that are obviously much more like mixed and probably have lots of straight slash.
But there still is a lot of gay guys there.
Oh, true. Yeah. But
it's just that the gay guys might have like embroidered like a feather into their hair. At some of the bars. And then some of the other bars, it's just like a white gay from New York who like works in finance. But there is just like this very much like hippie, not to like bring
slander
that,
hippies.
Not to slander hippies, but it's like
they're another enemy on our pod, Greg. Yeah, go for it.
It felt like there was like some of the parties, like if we were to ask anyone what their job was, like the record would go like, and they'd be like, we don't talk about jobs.
Yeah.
We are living day to day in Zipolite. And it's like, okay, so your dad owns an oil company, because like how are you not working? Anyways.
That was our last week. Yeah. We can move on.
Was our
we had a great little vacay and now we're back. And we're going to talk about posture. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
You always.
What? I put on the voice.
No, and no, you ask me. You always go, yeah, so we'll talk about it. It's like, imagine I was like, no, actually, we're going to completely derail the podcast.
You might be like, I have more to say.
I know. I think it's from my body language. You've known me for like 48 years.
Okay. I know everyone's heard this argument many times. I am the one who's given the control of this.
Then you just dom me. I've literally said this on the podcast so many times. I'm not going to sit there. And if you did do it, I would just continue to talk. Okay.
Well, I was up to
I'm
control.
Ready. Too bad this episode isn't about argumentation.
Okay. Here we go. Hold on to your butts.
Study time.
Study time.
Study time. Study time.
So we are talking about posture because I've become obsessed with it. I wear this like back brace to make myself sit up straight. I feel like I have bad posture. Everyone's talking about posture this, posture that.
Yeah, whether it's brought out a lot of conversation between us because I think my instinct was like, you shouldn't wear that posture thing. So we wanted to do research on like, are posture aids useful or helpful?
And why is everyone obsessed with posture right now? There's a lot of science coming in. There's a lot of pseudoscience. There's a lot of pressure on people to have good posture all of a sudden, as if it's some sort of like aesthetic thing of now.
Yeah. And I mean, there's obviously research we'll talk about, like, is there such a good thing as good and bad posture? What should you be thinking about when it comes to healthy posture? Is there a way to, quote unquote, fix
your
bad
posture?
As well as some other studies that I found interesting that are around like sitting and what that does to our bodies and how it affects
our
posture.
It's a hot button topic. But by definition, posture is the position of the body in space. And it's controlled by the interactions between the muscle skeletal, the visual eye, which I thought was really interesting. It is about the position of your head for your eye, vestibular ear, so like balance, and skin systems. It maintains balance during dynamic movements and stasis. So like, it's kind of like an automatic sort of unconscious position of the mm-hmm. body, which is interesting as well. It's not like we're all trying to actively change our posture, but a lot of the definitions are about sort of the unconscious times when you're moving around the world.
It's an interesting way to put that because, you know, in meditation and things like that, often breathing is used as an example of something that can both be unconscious or subconscious, and then you can turn your conscious attention to it and change it.
Same with posture.
And I was just thinking that's the same with posture, where that also I think postures are a really important part of like meditation and yoga because you cannot think about it, but then you can connect with it. But then if you forget it, your body just also can do it automatically.
So the curves in the spine are formed and stabilized around the ages of 5 to 6 years of age. Like right after the maturation of the foot. And then the complete postural function takes place from around 11 years old. And then it remains stable till 65 years old. Like in the sense that like before 11, there's probably a lot of posture change. After 65, there's going to be posture change.
Yeah.
It's in between those years though, that everyone like is on YouTube being like, so how do I fix your the amount of videos that are like 0 months, 6 months, 12 months. And it's just like a guy like so exaggerated hunchback from Notre Dame. And then by the end, he's just like, an army sergeant. And
literally
it's like,
standing
you
so tall.
You clearly just took a thumbnail of different angles.
That's the case with most fitness stuff too, where it's like you're just pushing your belly out really big in this one, where you're like the before and the after is like the most insane harsh lighting to get your abs to show.
Also, always the before is so much hotter to me. It's like a really obviously it's the same person, so they're like really jacked and they look normal and they have like a really cute body, and then the next one they're like fake tanned, like zero body fat, they look horrifying and their smile's weird, and it's like, wait, no,
the
you
first
look
one.
Way better when you looked normal.
But you're not wrong that this is also a case in the posture world. Like, if you, whether it's on YouTube or TikTok, you can see, and it's interesting that you bring that up, those, the in-between bracket is the one that we'll probably discuss the most because that's who's thinking about it. But the ones where it probably matters actually the most is in infants and in the elderly.
Yeah.
Is where, like, obviously the development of the spine in an infant is really important. And you might, as a parent, want to know about that and think about it and talk to your doctor if you're having concerns. Whereas I think in this, like, middle age bracket where most people are consuming content, it seems like the science will be interesting to go through here, I think.
But there is a natural S shape in your back. If you were to, like, stack your vertebrae neatly on top of each other, it would be like extreme pressure in the bottom parts mm-hmm. of your back. So, like, there's a natural curve of the spine that is, like, essential to good posture.
Yeah.
Which I think is important to remember.
I think I'm just going to come right out and say most of the research that I saw, or at least experts talking about this, wanted to make clear that the idea of black and white, good and bad posture is kind of a false place to start.
Yeah.
And that, you know, everyone's body is literally different. And a lot of studies even show that one posture on someone could be fine for them and on somebody else might cause them issues or pain. And so, like, at the very bare minimum, it's like we can listen to our own bodies. If you're not having pain or issues, you probably don't have a problem with
posture. Okay, so this was like an alarm bell that happened to me in Zipolite, that place where we had a holiday.
It's changed your life.
Well, no, we were with our friend Rye, who is a masseuse. And I made, at the end of the trip, I was like, back to the real world, I'm going to strap on my posture bra. And they were just like, okay, you don't have bad posture. And I was like, yeah, I do. Like, every time I see, like, a photo of me, I'm like, okay, like, you Neanderthal freak. Like, why are you walking around like, blah, blah, blah. And then they were like, you're so at, like, okay, so this, like, straight guy, red flag. No, not red flag. I'm not alienating straight guys. I love straight guys so much. And he was so great. But there was this guy who had a Frisbee on the beach.
Yeah.
And so,
of course, Greg was like, I want to play.
Yes, I love new experiences. I love meeting people. And so I was like, let's play Frisbee. And he was overjoyed. He clearly was sitting there with the Frisbee. And then it turns out he's like a professional.
He was like doing spins and
flips. It was insane. He says he was like, he was from Germany. He's like, I call it dancing. And he would like catch the Frisbee and then like spin, do a flip, and then like shoot it perfectly at my head. And I was just like, whoa, I thought we were going to like toss the Frisbee, but it was, we were dancing.
It was tricks.
We were dancing. It was tricks. And it was like, yeah, no, I actually am like, I picked it up fast. I have a lot of coordination. And I was, he was like so complimentary. Like, I don't play Frisbee. Mm-hmm. And Rye was just like, posture isn't about the aesthetics of the way you're standing. It's about how you're able to move your body. Mm. And I was like, and they were just like, I watched you play Frisbee for hours and I've watched you do all these athletic things. You don't complain about your back hurting. Mm-hmm. Like, your posture is working for you. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, it's very interesting to me that your postural focus recently, you've been like, I want to like become like stand up straight and I look different.
Actually, I'm going to do it right now.
But it is, I think, purely aesthetic.
Yeah. And in fact, because it's like, wait, my never back, been, you have back problems.
I have actually
like,
back
I don't
problems,
have back yeah. problems. I probably shouldn't play with this. Like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
100%.
Yeah.
And so that's like an interesting, it doesn't mean it's necessarily bad. I get that, like, you know, there's a lot of stuff out there that's not sciencey, but saying that's like people talking about why, like, I'm not saying it's not sciencey, but the idea of like standing up tall and looking confident, those things can affect your life in different ways.
Yeah.
Like, not to do with your physiology, but you might like look more confident to other people if you're in a job interview and you're not slouching. Like, it might stand out. So I can see a reason why aesthetically somebody would want to stand up tall and not look hunched. To me, like, you don't seem hunched, but when you do switch positions, I am like, wow, it is like you become
another
foot tall. And I'm also like, tall.
I'm also like, I'm actually tall, but like, I don't come across as tall.
Like, I think
I lose 2 inches.
I think you lose more than 2 inches.
Are you serious?
But maybe not. Maybe it's just because like I'm standing next to you.
Well, no, I've actually like stood up tall just for fun amongst friends, and like instantly people are like, what the fuck? They're like, oh my God, you're tall. And I'm like, damn it. Like, I literally just stood up straight for like 1 second and you noticed immediately.
Well, I think anyone gaining 2 inches in one moment is like a lot.
Yeah, I know. It's like I'm actually tall, but I'm just like, okay. One thing I found was that it's linked to, I mean, hashtag me saying this, it's truly linked to the sense of manliness and masculinity because it all comes out of the military.
Oh, to have
the
like
concept of standing up straight and standing at attention This is like what a historian named Sander Gilman says. Okay. The spine rigid, chin tucked, feet under head was originally developed as the ideal pose for reloading a musket. And it's actually not natural. And over time, this posture has become imbued with manliness and honor and strength. And now everyone's trying to stand at attention. Oh, and immediately I hunched over and was like, okay, I don't want to be like, that. Yeah. Like military
you complex. Every day become more of a bro.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, wait, I'm standing up straight. And it's actually the industrial military complex. Like, are you kidding?
That's so funny.
Biden wants me to stand up straight.
I saw that reminds me of like, okay, I'm going to talk about a TikTok, brace yourself. But it was some girl being like, I hate that. Like if I lay down and watch TV for 10 hours, I'm called lazy. She's like, I was sitting around lazy like 100, 200, 300 years ago. Like some painter would be like absolutely using me as their muse. And it would be like this beautiful thing that it would immortalize me. It's like that same vibe. Like it's interesting to think about the perception of posture is cultural. Like, until this literal moment.
Yes.
I'm not saying it's fully cultural.
Well, now that I've learned through science that posture straight, the like classic sort of like chin tuck straight up posture is not good or bad. Mm-hmm. I now realize, okay, I just intuitively thought it was good from a scientific and kinesiology perspective, but my research is saying that it's not.
Agreed.
So then now I'm like, I think
it all starts with if you have pain or discomfort, then it's probably worth exploring. Like, okay, is there something posturally here that's important? But a lot of things like physiotherapists and other body workers, there's like a common phrase that is your next posture is your best posture.
What?
That is to say moving your body on a regular basis, even if you're sitting, to move it more frequently and change postures is actually better. Because, for example, even standing in perfect posture puts a lot of stress on your spine, which is not necessarily a bad thing. But when you bend, you're actually like moving your spine around. You're affecting the fluids. It's called like discal fluid shifts. Like as you curve over, it actually like pushes the fluid around, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, it's like move more.
Yeah. And so I think in general it's like sitting in one spot or standing in one position for a really long time is maybe more of a problem than like if you're moving and keeping. If you're going to sit for 8 hours a day, it's better that you like sometimes stand, sometimes lean on one side, sometimes lean on another side. And then after that, it's like if you are still experiencing physical pain or issues, maybe it's worth exploring that with like another person, like a doctor or something.
But yeah, there's this radical back guy. Wish that was my nickname, who named O'Sullivan, and he and his researchers, and it's like he's very popular in this sort of like posture community, really feels that there is no association between sitting posture and back pain. So like there's studies that don't show. Yeah.
Like I would say there are some studies that find associations between posture and pain, but like on average, almost all of them don't.
Yeah.
So it's like it's not enough to say that these are causing.
Yeah. There. And again, he's saying it's like, it's about moving a lot, keeping fit, eating well, sleeping well. Those are the things that you should be targeting, not your specific posture.
Yeah.
Like it's not, and it was just interesting to think, like I thought, like if I hunched more, I'm going to have more back pain. But then I'm like, yeah, I actually never had back pain.
Yeah, you've literally, that's like an amazing thing to me. I've had back pain since I was 19.
So like, does that mean you need to change your posture?
Maybe, but you know, I've developed
posture.
I don't even have necessarily, I definitely don't have bad posture, I don't think. I think my issues have come from something else. It's a lot to do with stress. Like I think a lot of my stress comes out in my back, and I don't, it's like I'll have back spasms when I'm really stressed or sleep deprived, those kind of things.
And even in people who are forced to take on awkward postures for work, there's no evidence of increased back pain as well. Back pain is just like elusive and confusing.
Yeah. It's one of the most common things. And I read like an amazing book about back pain once about how it just like a lot of people who have back pain, there's no specific reason they can pin it to. And pain is just such an interesting thing. Like pain, I'm not saying anyone's pain is like of their own making, but there's studies and incidents of people like losing limbs and being like, I don't feel pain. Right? Like a lot of it is to do with your brain and the state you're in. And so it's not feel surprising.
Pain, it's like messed up and it scares me.
Well, you have that's burnt something different.
My leg, like crispy bacon burn. And it took me 2 days
to notice.
I looked down.
I was like,
it was actually like, okay, I need to be hospitalized.
You're like, is there something on my leg? I'm like, there's a giant stab. There was a giant burn.
I remember when it happened. Like, I put my chin, no, sorry, my shin, wow, well, against like, more hot metal in a sauna. Ow. Ooh, ouchie for the
like
one second.
You had
second.
That moment.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, ow, I should probably move my shin off of this hot metal. 2 days later, I look down. It is like bubbled over. Like the first thing I noticed is like, oh, my pant has like some like weird, like
ew.
Almost like it was like, oh, there must be like a tag that fell in my leg pant.
Because you're like feeling.
And then I looked and was like, my skin's bubbling.
Ew.
And then even.
Not bubbling.
It was bubbling. It was like, it was like crispy bacon. And I had not felt the pain. Redheads okay. are freaks. We need to be absolutely taken note. Kidding.
Wait, going. Okay, yeah.
Wow.
We're not losing the redheads.
Yeah,
too,
no.
Right?
Yeah, okay.
Going back to this idea of certain positions, like maybe a decade ago, there was like, I found a bunch of headlines that were like, text neck is going to be a epidemic.
Yeah. We made
all
a video
these
on
issues
that.
Of like, yeah, how like our necks are all cranked and we're going to get all. So there's like multiple studies from 2018, 2021, 2020 that have found no association between text neck and pain in people's necks.
Okay.
That's not to say like, because sometimes I think when I use my phone a lot, I sometimes am like, my neck feels weird. But that might be temporary and that might just be my experience. But on the whole, these studies have found no association between the two.
Okay, slow.
One other thing that I think is worth thinking about, there's evidence that shows that people who think there's something wrong with their posture are more likely to experience pain if you think that.
Oh.
So I'm not saying, what I mean is recently I feel like you've been thinking more, but because you're someone who like doesn't experience pain, maybe this is different, but over fixating on your posture
makes
as
you,
something to change. In studies, they just find there's a correlation between those people tending to have ultimately more issues. So
obviously,
I think the
I think
lesson there,
wrong, putting on a back brace.
Yeah. I think the lesson is just like, you may be able to improve your posture, but if it's not causing you issues, don't get hung up on it. Of course, if you have back pain or neck pain, it's worth exploring.
Totally.
But
so I'm actually the prime candidate to stop caring about my posture because I have no back problems.
100%. Yeah.
Actually, also, I was wearing my back bra. What are they called? Back bra? Back brace? Back
if
brace
you haven't
makes you
seen,
think that
yeah,
like,
it looks like
I had like a skiing accident. No,
so
it's like
for no one, for people who haven't seen it, it's really like a strap that goes
yeah, two
around.
Straps that go over my shoulders and then there's a thing in the back and it pulls my shoulders
like
back.
Made of fabric.
It looks like a gay guy at a leather party.
Yeah, it looks like a holster.
A holster. And in fact, I did wear it on the plane and they like
they
I
like padded right
I was called for an inspection and they were like, so you're wearing a dynamite vest. And I was just like, okay. And there was like, they were in Spanish. I'm like, it's posture. But then I was like, wait, it actually looks like I'm like, I have like a holster for guns.
Yeah. When I was like, why are you wearing that right now? Like as we're going through security, I'm just like, you're
and
literally
I was like,
back straight.
And the guy was just like, okay, you're a freak. Anyways, I think I should stop, but I'm addicted to it. I love it. It makes me think about my posture. It makes me think it's working.
The only thing I think it's good for, and this is anecdotal, but I do. We're going to talk a little bit about postural devices. But my personal opinion has always been, it might. The good part is it might be signaling you,
yes,
as in like reminding you, like, oh, this thing's on. Let me like, but what I think is not good is that instead of using your muscles to do that posture, you're letting something else do it to you.
Okay, so
because it reminds me of when you're injured and you need like an ankle brace or a knee brace. Those are meant to mainly be there to prevent you causing more injury. But if and when you're like well enough to start reusing that body part, like you build strength by actually using it and like challenging it.
Okay, so I'm gonna read an email from a gorgeous listener who sent this to us. I'm not gonna say their name just because like I don't know if they gave consent for that.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. And if you're listening now, you know. Hi guys, I'm a doctor of physical therapy student currently in my last clinical rotation and 4 months away from licensure. I treat back pain every single day and part of that involves teaching patients when to use a back brace and how to correct their posture. When you wear a back brace all the time or those postural correcting bras, that's what I should call
it. Oh, it's a bra. Okay.
For shoulder posture, you end up relying on the support provided and stop using the muscles required to maintain good posture.
Okay, am I a doctor?
they get weaker and your brain stops engaging with those muscles well. There are three muscle groups I focus on when talking about posture. neck, back, and shoulder pain. So then she goes on to talk about these like three ones. But one I thought was interesting was like your transverse abdominis. This is your body's natural back brace. It's in your deep core. And she talks about like pulling your navel towards your spine. Mm. And often like people will think that they have to hold their breath, but she's like, of course you should be able to breathe. And she was, and then she said to strengthen that you do the dead bug exercise, which like at Equinox hashtag sponsor con. I'm kidding. At Equinox is like little kind of boutique gym.
I'm sure you could do it at home or
but
at a
they do the dead bug a lot. And it's like, yeah,
what do you mean at Equinox they do the dead bug a lot?
At Equinox in my crazy classes they what say dead bug and you do dead bug. Anyways, you can YouTube it. And it was just interesting to be like,
you don't
okay,
have to spend $100 a month to get dead bug.
No. And it's like, I should be dead bugging and pulling my navel to my spine, not wearing a bra. Thank you for your email.
Okay, well, what is a dead bug? Explain to the people, because I think it's, I'm mixing it up with something else.
Okay, well, picture a dead bug on their back.
Okay, you're on your back. Are your knees bent?
Yeah.
And where do your arms go?
Like up and then what?
Like straight to the sky?
Yeah. And then what sometimes like... I'm like, I can't do it without the microphone. Sometimes what the only guys do when you're in the dead bug, you put your one hand on the leg and you put pressure onto your hand and it's just like core, baby, core.
Got it.
And they do lots of other things in the dead bug position. They do lots of bear crawls.
Sounds like a really interesting gym.
Yeah, it's a really interesting gym. And every conversation with someone I have at Equinox is really deep.
They should be paying you for this.
And anyways, yeah, like it was just like truly do not wear the bra that I'm currently wearing. And so thank you for that email. It read me to filth.
Okay. Well, I think I have some scientific studies about these kind of devices.
Okay, yeah.
If you want to actually, like, because they all agree with that. Or at least their results find really very small evidence, and in most cases, not enough evidence to really recommend them to anyone.
Damn it.
I'd say, so it says...
I love a quick fix.
Yeah, some small evidence that correcting shirts, so I don't know if this is in the same
category.
I saw
those online. They were definitely a price point above.
It says
and they
it can
horrible.
Change a person's posture, might help alleviate pain and discomfort, and even increase energy levels and productivity. But a lot of the studies they reviewed, this was like a big study that reviewed six studies, they thought the studies had big problems. Like most of the contestants didn't have pain to start with, so they couldn't really evaluate, like, are you alleviating pain?
True.
They found That's the evidence funny. Pretty poor. Also, there are apparently electronic devices that are meant to help you with posture. I don't know if they're like zapping you or something like that. Also, no evidence.
Okay, I have one of those. You put it on the top
Wait,
of your
you
back.
You have one of these?
Yeah, but I'm so bad at tech that I couldn't figure it out. I spent like $120.
What?
I'm such a loser.
Where is that?
I was stoned and on like reading like Apple News.
Have you been
like,
hiding it from
no,
me because you're
I
embarrassed?
No, I should show it to you. Like it. Okay. Well, okay. Know what it is? It's this weird like... like little picture like an iPod Nano. Okay. Every Gen Z person's like, what is that? Anyways, you put it on the back of your neck, like kind of like at the top of your spine where it hits your neck.
Okay.
And then and there's an app. Again, this is why I'm like lost me. Like the tech can't require an app or I'm done. And every time you hunch, it buzzes and makes you stand up straight.
Oh, like it's like evaluating your
It's
posture.
Like you hunch. And so it's not actually, it actually probably in theory is better because it's actually you're using your own muscles to do it.
Yeah.
But the thing is I bought a little rope, an extra like $30 or whatever, so that it would like rope and it's like almost like a necklace and it hangs there. And that rope was like discontinued and never came. So I have like these sticky,
what does the rope do?
It's like it makes the device just hang there so you don't have to use these sticky pads, which it came with like four sticky pads. I'm like, that's only 4 days of use.
Oh, yeah.
Like I'm
not
going to like every day, shower like, with this thing. Like I'm not a full cyborg yet. Anyways, I've never even used it because it required an app and I was too complicated. But maybe that's what they mean, electrical device.
Maybe that's what they meant. I thought it like, yeah, you're right. Maybe that is what they meant. I didn't know. The only current recommended use for these devices is in children with scoliosis.
Okay, so
that's what this study concluded.
I
is like
thought
there's some
I had scoliosis. I truly have a posture thing. I remember when I was like 11 or 12. After my feet had developed and my back, my spine was then like even looking at young photos of me, I'm like. The back's dank.
I mean,
like there's something
but
up.
Have you not been properly
then my mom was
diagnosed?
Like okay, we'll go to the doctor, and I went to the doctor and they did an x-ray. I remember it was my first x-ray because it was like everyone leaves the room because you're getting examined. I was like, this is scary. Like, why is everyone leaving the room? And I had all this, like, I'm like, wait, this is bad. And I had all this, like, you know, the magnets on me. And then they were just like, no, he has like a strong S, but he doesn't have scoliosis. They were like, you don't have scoliosis. Hmm. And I was like, damn it.
Then you don't have it.
I know, because I think scoliosis is more of like an S.
Like sideways. Yeah.
My ass is really front.
I have
back.
A minor one. That's what they told me. But I think, and that was at a chiropractor. So I don't know if I should believe it.
Should we do an episode on chiropractor? We already did, didn't we?
Maybe a long time ago.
Yeah, we did. And we just like dragged them.
Yeah.
But Joey Listro from my high school, who like everyone I know has a crush on, is a chiropractor. So sometimes I'm like, he's cute.
And some people swear by them. And I think if that works for you, it works for you. And a lot of chiropractors work in different modalities is what they would say.
Can I do a side note about Joey Listro?
I mean, it seems like you shouldn't be like talking about a very specific person.
No, he's so hilarious and confident. He's fine. But he's a straight guy. And once I went to go see Dunkirk and he was sitting in front of me and I was like, okay, this is obviously like the most masculine straight movie ever. And I knew he loved Christopher Nolan. And so Dunkirk is an incredible movie. It is an art house action film about war. So I was obviously like, I'm going to bond with Joey Listro. We leave Dunkirk. I'm like, that moved me in ways I can't describe. Like, high five me. And he goes, I actually didn't like Dunkirk. And I was just like, okay, I cannot connect with straight men. Like, if Dunkirk is not a way that I'm going to connect with Joey Listro, my straight high school, then there's no hope for us here. Because Dunkirk should be the way in. It's only men shooting each other.
And it's Christopher Nolan.
I was just like, absolutely. He was just like, no, I didn't like that much. And I just was like, gulp. And was like, there's nothing I have to say here.
Well.
Okay, we're back.
We're back.
He's a chiropractor.
This study found if you have back pain, muscle weakness and strain may be more relevant to the problem than simply posture. And that the danger of these devices, as we've said, is that you might become to depend on them and you might actually worsening that weakness in your body. And what I will say, this is a personal anecdote. I have had ongoing back issues for like, what, nearly 20 years now.
It's wild. Sometimes he just is like, I'll just hear a scream. He's like, it's out. And then you're just like out of commission for like a week.
Mine's like very specific in this one part of my back. It starts spasming and I'm like, it used to be like for a week I would be bedridden. But ever since I finally got into like exercising, I started by just going to somebody to like get me moving and stretching. I think it's much more under control and I care so much more about my sleep and my stress levels. Like it can still happen to me. And the thing you have to realize when you have like a chronic condition is like, it probably will never go away. But if you can manage it and minimize it, that's like a huge success. And
also, to side note, one day we move into our house. Most important day to move a giant table we've purchased. All of a sudden his back goes out.
Wait, what?
And I'm thinking to myself, it can be a little bit of a convenient little.
That is the rudest thing.
No,
you could. That's like not believing survivors.
No, I feel really bad. That was like, I
imagine
victims.
I ever said that about your migraines.
I was just joking. Really? I know that you had a back problem. I was just like, damn, I guess I'm driving to the middle of nowhere and moving this giant table alone.
That's just because Greg is so afraid to drive that it's like that was his trauma. I literally threw my back out and Greg's like, I have to drive.
Can you think of anything more horrible and horrifying? Driving is absolutely insane. We're all just going around in these metal machines with barely any regulation. So many Americans die way more than everyone else in the world. Well, what developed countries. And it's because of driving. Because they're just slamming into each other on their roads. Just smash, smash, smash. Death everywhere.
Yeah, so I do think I'm cars will be a thing. Yeah. Interesting to go back to exercise. Yeah, you cut me off. But I actually am going to skip the anecdote and go straight to a meta-analysis that looked into does working out fix posture? And so this meta-analysis covered 16,000 people over multiple studies.
Wow.
Interestingly, they only found a very weak correlation between exercise and good posture.
But what's good posture?
I think
the military?
That this goes back. I didn't actually look at the specifics of how they're measuring posture.
Why good posture is not good.
I think that the idea of good posture is sort of not a non-starter, right? Like if you of course, working out is good, and building strength in your muscles probably will help you with certain pains.
Yeah.
But it's not about trying to achieve a very specific look. The only thing I'll say is when I went to a physio one time, he did like grade me on my posture, but I was having back pain. And so maybe he was like, I want to see if like, if there's something that we can work on or if there's a muscle, like he like had me stand and then he gave me a grade and then he told me like the things he would do. And this is just one practitioner, obviously. The only other thing I'll say about exercise, this study basically concluded that there's obviously multiple biopsychosocial factors that can be involved in human posture.
What is that? That's what
they're saying. So it's like,
did you just burp?
So
biopsychosocial.
Obviously, that's why there's not a singular relationship to exercise and posture. Hmm. Your back pain and human posture are obviously decided by a variety of factors, including like my back pain often comes on when I'm stressed. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like there's so many things that can impact. If someone's tired, maybe they'll carry themselves different. If they're like, I don't know, injured themselves, if they're not, if there's some other injury in their body, like I always think about how like, yeah, one leg is like just the slightest bit more, like maybe your whole body is kind of like dealing
slightest
with that.
Slightest bit more what?
Like length, you know, like what if your right leg's
what
just
a little
long? What
are you talking about?
People have that problem.
People don't have a dank long leg and a short one.
Yes, they do. Most people do.
Mitch, what are you talking about?
That's the thing.
Chiropractor over here with the pseudoscience.
Okay, we can move on, but there's lots of...
You're like, just a walking side. Like,
you think your legs are perfectly the same length?
Yeah, because I'm a symmetrical
god. Then why is one ear so much bigger than the other?
Okay, Mitch, I can tell you're floundering when you're getting mean. Okay.
I was just joking.
Also, this is another, whatever, just another study, that children with relaxed, like they ask kids to do... focus on their posture and stand up straight. And then they ask kids to just like maintain their relaxed posture and then do really intense math equations. And the people with relaxed posture did way better on the math equations because it's like taxing mentally.
Well, that goes back to the study that was looking at the devices and said it actually, what did it say? It was just like it might give you more energy because you're not focused on having to like use those muscles as much. That's not necessarily a good thing if you're not using those muscles, but maybe in instances when you need a lot of brain power and you don't want to be like physically tired to be in a comfortable position.
Stand up straight when I dance. Notice that when I dance, because I've danced all through Zipolite, I dance with Just Dance for like an hour a day. I do this like kind of thing where I'm like, oh, maybe it's sexy, but I kind of like hunch and I'm like, and I'm like, and whenever I see photos of me dancing, I'm like, and I'm like hunched.
And you think it looks bad?
Actually, sometimes I'm like, this is cute. But then I just am like, I want to be able to stand up straight. Ew, actually picturing someone standing up straight and dancing, it's like ballerina. Okay.
I was going to play a voice note that we got.
One before you do that, because it's awesome, I'm just going to read. These are just two odd facts I found in studies. And one was that in studies, they got people to nod in agreement versus shake their head in disagreement. And then that would affect whether they actually like believed the opinions that they were saying.
Mm-hmm. Wait, what?
Okay, this is so side note, but it was just like about like posture and nodding and stuff. And it was like linked to one of them. And I just clicked and looked at the study. Essentially, if you nod your head and are told to say something, you'll believe it more than if you shake your head and are told to say something. It's just like one of those things that like humans are so simple and dumb.
Yeah. And that's why they also say if you just smile, it can actually make you feel better.
Yeah. This was another one. It was like they just got people to hug themselves and it reduced their back pain.
Wow.
Like literally just be like, you're good. And hug themselves.
That's amazing.
Okay, now let's go into our voice message.
Yeah, the voice message is from Diana, and it made me think of this voice note because we were talking about sort of like other factors that might impact your posture, and I thought this was interesting. So we'll give a listen to Diana.
Hey guys, my name is Diana from Miami, Florida. Love the pod, always listen to it. Anyway, I wanted to talk to you regarding posture, but not in the traditional sense of your core or your back or anything like that. But I only got my glasses maybe when I was 20 years old. And I didn't realize that before getting my glasses, I was only looking down or things that were really close to me because I'm nearsighted. So when I got my glasses, everything changed for me. I was able to see far away, and that completely changed my perspective of being aware of everything, and it just allowed me to have a better posture because I'm always looking up, always looking away and far and being aware of everything. But anyway, just some perspective on another way that posture can be looked at. But yeah, excuse the bird in the background. She's going nuts. She likes to say hi. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you so much, Diana. I loved the bird. At first, I was like, is there a little like phone going off in the background? But
someone's getting Twitter notifications.
I'm curious if you've ever felt a way about this because you wear glasses. I don't know if you know, but I have perfect vision.
Yeah. No. That's so interesting because, no, my vision is actually...
When did you get glasses?
Around the same time as they did.
Like,
yeah. No, I've never actually thought about that. I think, yeah, wow. I'm like, okay, that is so interesting because I would have always been looking at things close to me because I can't see far. And oh my God, that's so interesting and cool.
And like, maybe that's what...
I'm just like, how did they... They're like obviously such an intelligent person because they listen to this podcast, so they're obviously so smart, but they're just aware of their body. I would never have made that connection because I'm not smart.
Yeah, but it just reminds me of that there's obviously so many like little factors that can impact the way you carry your body. Something like glasses, which I've never thought about because I don't have them, but I'm sure there are many other examples, and how you even gave the definition at the beginning, like your vestibular system. Like I had like many months where I was like, there's something out of whack, I'm dizzy all the time. Like I'm sure that impacted my posture at that time. It is just like interesting that posture is just like the relation of your body in space.
Yeah. And I'm like, it is so in your own head. I can't even think about people I know who have good posture or bad posture. Everyone's just...
Yeah, I don't really look at... Like, yeah. Every now and then you see something, but you're like, maybe that's extreme.
That's
right?
Just
like,
a ballerina.
On average, people are either like... I don't notice anyone's posture, really, unless they're like so slouched or so stand-up tall.
Not at all. What do I even notice about anyone? Their butt? I mean, we already did an episode on butts. I was about to be like, well, you should do one about butts. But yeah, no, I don't know. It's weird. But obviously people are really critical of their own posture. Like I am so critical of my posture. It's crazy.
It's one of those things that you realize you're only thinking about how everyone has anxiety about themselves. And then you realize like most people aren't thinking that about you. And this is just another example of like, it's not to say no one ever does, but in general, you're obsessing over your posture more than really anyone else.
People obviously are. There's a huge market for it. Mm. A, on Amazon.com, ever heard of it? Because of the like back bras.
Yeah.
B, on YouTube.com, ever heard of it? Because of the like sensation of making your posture better.
I think it, and I'm going to bring up my last study, which is the relationship to sitting. Because I think we all like more and more, and this conversation gets bigger and bigger through my life, at least, like we're talking about the detriment of sitting, and we're all sitting not only like 8 hours at work or more, then we're also like going home and watching TV or sitting on our phone on TikTok. Like we're so often in this like sitting position. So I feel like that's part of the reason people are actually pretty viscerally aware that their bodies aren't moving that often.
Yeah.
So this was a study that came out this month, Feb 2024. It was all about like, what does sitting for long stretches of time do? And if they exercise, does it make a difference? So if you sit 8 hours a day or 10 hours a day, is it alleviated by doing exercise for 1 hour a day? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
As in, because in my mind, sometimes I'm like, I sit a lot for work, but then I'm like, but I go to the gym.
Yeah.
Does that matter? So this was on like 6,500 women between 63 and 99 for 8 years.
Wow.
So like, obviously that's a specific demographic.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Interestingly, whether or not they participated in low or high amounts of moderate to vigorous intensity, like physical activity, they had the same heightened risk if they sat for long periods of time. And that heightened risk was basically all-cause mortality. But what they found is it was after 11 hours a day of sitting, it increased by death increased by 30%. And that was like a huge tipping point, apparently.
11 hours a day is a lot. Right?
It is. But if you think about if someone has like an 8 hour job and then you come home and you sit and watch TV or you sit on your phone, you're sitting at dinner and you're sitting in your car, it can add up pretty easily, I think. Oh, considering like sometimes the stats on phone use are like 11 hours a day.
I also found a study that was like the standing desks aren't the solution to posture because it actually can make you have worse posture. Yeah.
I mean, I think this suggestion from this study was it's better to just at least, like I said earlier, your next posture is your best posture.
Gotcha.
If every 10 or 20 minutes, you're at least just like switching positions, standing up here and there. That's good. And obviously sedentary behavior is linked to illness, right? Like not moving affects your muscle contraction, blood flow, your glucose metabolism. So that's why it's like moving is so good for you, even if it's just like walking or getting up.
Everyone needs to invest in Just Dance. It's one of the best things ever.
If you like it, like I don't get.
Oh, sorry. I just mean it's like when I play video games, I'm moving my friends.
But you're like chronically needing to move, I feel. You're a busy body. I feel like interesting that
we're in a fight.
It's interesting that you are the one who considers your posture when you are the one who's always moving. And I'm the one who's like sitting at home for like hours on hours on hours.
I'm considering my posture because I look crazy when I walk around. I look like a Neanderthal.
Maybe. But I'm like, I literally last night watched Australian Survivor for 4 hours straight.
Yeah.
In the one position.
No, I know. I know you're crazy. I know you're crazy. And I know, I also know I'm crazy. That I can only play a video game if it involves me like learning how to dance like BTS, which I actually can do.
Well, okay. I think that like closes off our section on posture.
Yeah.
That maybe we'll take a little break and we come back for our What'd You Learn This Week's. But hopefully that you learned about posture there. Be right back.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Oh, what did we learn this week?
You go first.
Empathy. You know, that thing that helps us connect with other people, understand what they're going through, this sort of thing. Apparently, a new study says...
Your boy.
It's socially transmissible. I thought was really interesting. So, like, you can be impacted by other people's empathy in a way that makes you more empathetic and vice versa.
You can spread it.
Yeah. It's like a thing. They literally, cool. The weird part I don't fully understand is they said they were able to capture this complex social phenomenon through mathematical models.
Okay.
A procedure known as computational modeling.
Sounds real.
And they mapped it to the adult brain using MRIs. So it was kind of like they were able to see that the study itself was like showing people like getting hurt and stuff like that. But it was whether they had recently seen someone be empathetic or not and how it impacted their reaction to those things. So if you had observed someone being empathetic, say like to watching a person hurt themselves, you're way more likely to be empathetic and vice versa though. If you saw somebody being not empathetic, you're more likely your brain will actually switch and they see these switches in the brain, which is probably like a communication tool to be like being like the people around you. But I thought it was interesting to think about being the person in a room who can be empathetic and like
knowing you
ultimately could impact other people.
Yeah, that's cool. Being like, I'm not just like this lonely empathetic person. Even if I do feel like I'm the only one being empathetic, like you're slowly...
You can define the way that people think about something. Yeah. It's interesting, right? Like a lot of people are, of course, some people are on extreme ends, but a lot of people are like in a room going to want to go with the flow. And if you see something and other people want to laugh at it, but you want to be like, no, that's really sad. I'm sure if you're the first person to vocalize like, oh, we should help that person or, oh, we shouldn't laugh at that person or those kind of things, like you probably bring that to the group. And it's just this study was able to show there's like a literally a chain reaction that happens when someone's being empathetic around you.
Wow.
So I thought that was really cool. Yeah.
Two things. I'm going to start with the science and then I'm going to get into the not science. Okay. So the science. I also read a study. It's not my word we learned this week, but could be about how there's physiological differences in people's brains if they're more... The way that they used it in the headline was prickly, but like essentially it's like if you get bumped on the street and you're like, hey,
Like, why'd you do that?
Yeah.
Versus people who
love
like
that voice.
Or like versus people who got bumped on the street and are like, oh, that person probably like.
Or like, oops. Yeah, sorry. Like,
no. Or just.
Yeah. Or sorry, have a like, different
like,
view.
Like it was that person was like stressed.
Accidental. Yeah.
And then there was another example. And it's like their brains are actually built different. And they're like neuroplasticity. Like there's a way you can like essentially change someone to not be so
reactive,
mad and at the world and think everyone's against them. It was like people who thinks everyone's against them have a different part of a brain region. I don't know it off the top of my head, but I was reading the study than people who don't.
Hmm.
And it was like, oh, that's interesting. It's like more clear than the complexity
that's
of like
cool.
emotion.
Which,
reminds
which
me of
you?
That.
Which kind of person
oh,
are you?
Oh, I'm so not.
Yeah,
like,
you've never been like mean to a person.
No, like if I always just think everyone's having like a bad day.
To me, it's like if it's like a man who does it to me, I'm going to be really annoyed, but I will never be able to say it in the moment. But if it's like a girl or like someone like queer bumped into me, I'd obviously think it was an accident.
You'd be like, namaste.
Yeah. But then it's like, you know, if it's like a bro who think I'm like, oh, he thinks he's better than me. He just wants to like hit me.
That's crazy. But I just think if someone hits
always.
Me, if someone bumps into me, I just think they didn't mean to.
And it's, I shouldn't say just a man. There's lots of men who give off the right vibes where I'd be like, that was obviously an accident. But there's like a certain kind of person where you're like, you didn't.
Yeah,
move.
No, you're feisty. You're prickly. Yeah.
But I'm not prickly.
No, but you got it in you.
But like if it's the wrong person, I can be prickly. But then it's the wrong person to me is also like a threat. So I often won't be prickly because I won't want to like fight with something like that.
Okay, so the other thing I was going to say is I think that your study is why Housewives is a bad show for the world. Because I really feel... Okay, so we're gay, hot take. So we started watching Housewives because...
In 2024.
Literally, it was like people were like handcuffing us to chairs, forcing us... Like Clockwork Orange, eyes glued open with like eye drops, forcing us to watch this freaking show.
Yeah.
That is sadly entertaining. And it's just... It makes people less empathetic. If empathy can be taught
almost
and
like
seen
contagious.
And contagious, it is like the opposite of empathy. It is so catty. And I find that after I watch it, I go in bed and my like brain's like narrative is like negative. And like, I'm like, I wonder how I could like fight with someone at a bar. it's like I'm so non-confrontational, but it makes me be like, confrontation
imagining
is cool.
Yourself doing it.
Yeah, being like, I could absolutely roast the shit out of like all of my friends because I like know all their flaws. Like it's so
well
dark.
You know what, that's like, not to bring up Big Brother, but it kind of felt like doing a thing like that almost gives a little bit of permission to play with that. And I'm
what?
Well, as you know, I was on Big Brother Canada.
No, you were.
But I feel like these kind of reality shows also construct a world where when you're in them, you're almost given permission to do that.
But then if you're
thing.
Observing it, you think it's normal.
Exactly. I'm not saying it's a good thing.
Like
but
when I watch it,
spicy.
I'm like, this is crazy. Like, if groups of friends were like this, I would not be able to be.
It's too
but
much.
But then I'm like, it makes you think it's normal that I bet people who watch a lot of it are kind of like more able to handle confrontation in a negative way. Not like in a good way. In a way that's like,
it's like
justified.
A fighting way. I'm allowed to use my words and argue.
And it's fun. Like you do watch them and you're like, damn, like that girl's so good at ripping that other girl. And it's like,
it's like
go
a battle
off.
Of
she
wits
won.
Almost. Yeah, it's, like, it's not about who's actually right. It's about who can like get the one up and get the
and
zinger.
It's honestly fun. Like I get why the whole world, aka girls and gay guys, are addicted because it's like it's so entertaining.
You know what? It's an interesting thing to think about. I feel that girls and gays and theys like these shows because we've had to use our words to defend ourselves.
Okay, well,
don't you think? Like, well, I'm not going to physically fight someone, so I've had
I am.
To. Well, you're a bro.
I'm not a bro.
You're a bro.
No, gay guys physically fight.
They can, but a lot of us, like, I'm using myself as an example, I have to use my words. And so there's a part of me that's like, if I need to, like, defend myself, it's going to be my language.
No,
I'm not justifying
I think
the
straight
show.
Guys use their words. I think straight guys are just as catty as any woman.
You think?
Yes, for sure. Like when you think of like the club district of Toronto, yo, bro, like there's so much of that.
That's what we think the club district of Toronto is, by the way.
Like, yeah, for sure. But I do get what you're saying.
You know what I mean? I think like the cutting, zingy nature is for people who are like not gonna jump into a fight.
Yeah,
I guess. Like, I can tear you down with my words, and that is so
you.
So
you're so scary. Oh my god, so scary. No, the way you just looked at me when you did that is so scary.
Like, it's
you,
a defense mechanism. I know. I don't do it that often.
No, you don't. But I know that deep down you could ruin me.
But I would never.
Like, you would.
No, I wouldn't.
When we're fighting.
No, but not on the pod. I'm talking about to like mean strangers.
Oh,
I would never do this to any of my friends.
But it's, in Housewives, they're defense. Quote unquote friends.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. The show is different.
Yeah.
And they're also probably not actually friends.
Also, there's this thing that like with Housewives that I think is so toxic. Again, so entertaining, but so toxic. And I've only seen like 10 episodes of one season, but they go like, we've been through a lot. And then it cuts to them being like, you're a fucking bitch. Like, I hate you. You're ugly. Your kids are whores. And it's like, but, and then it cuts to them like, and we're here now. I'm like, that's not been through a lot. Like, it's like, they do this thing where it's like, if you like absolutely roast a person to their core and then you get through it, that's growth. And sometimes I worry that people think that.
Yeah.
It's like, there's something about tension that I sometimes like see in my life where then they get to make up and it's like, now we're closer. It's like, no, you actually said the most hurtful things to each other. And it's weird. I'm like,
it's a shallow version of a truth. Like, there is some truth to this idea that you can have like a lot of in your life strife with someone, and that can also impact you having a somewhat meaningful relationship. Yeah, like a lot of people have that relationship with like family. And,
but I think
and, like,
if I ever were to say that to someone, it'd be like, I don't care about them.
Yeah.
Like all the people in my life who I love, I could never roast.
Speak to that way.
And the people who I'm like, okay, I could roast you. I'm like, it's like you're willing to be like, I don't want to be your friend. Yeah.
But I bet the Housewives feel that way in the moment when they're roasting someone. But you're right. From what the short amount we've seen, it feels like they kind of end up roasting all of each other.
Yeah, right? And it's like when they're like, what we've been through, I thought it was going to cut to them both like losing their moms in the same month or something like that. And it was just like, you're a fucking whore. Your husband's gay and your kid's a slut. And then they're like, and here we are. And it's like, that is so mean.
Imagine saying that stuff to a friend. Yeah, they're like perpetually in university or something. Like that age group is what it feels like. Because that kind of stuff I felt, we were all more volatile at that age. And it was like those kind of, you're still developing and finding friendships. And so you realize some friendships like don't match well because you're like not.
And at this point, I'm like, if I meet someone who's like annoying, I'm just like, okay, cool. I'm not going to like roast them. I'm just going to like distance.
But yeah, the show's obviously problematic in some ways because of that.
Oh,
but
I just find it like turns my like inner dialogue like really nasty. Yeah. But it's like, whatever. It's so fun. Okay. So my What Did We Learn This Week's about.
Oh, you haven't even done it yet.
No. I know. I was just getting really deep on Housewives for some reason. The new obesity drugs, Wegovy, for example. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, there's so much information flooding in about them because everyone's taking them now. Mm-hmm. GLP-1 receptor agonists. They control blood sugar and they dampen your hunger. Mm-hmm. They're very popular. We all know about them. And then new findings show that they decrease inflammation overall in your body. And in fact, in rats and some small studies in humans, people with fatty liver, it would decrease the liver inflammation. And then they thought maybe it's like, oh, it's just decreasing inflammation because people are losing weight. And there's a lot of inflammation involved when you have a lot of weight gain. But then even once their weight is lost, it's continuing to decrease inflammation. Okay. And some of them decrease inflammation in the brain in a way that they could be designed to treat Parkinson's and Alzheimer's, which are characterized by neuroinflammation.
Okay.
So it's like these medications are so interesting because everyone just decided to like, humans are like so messed up. They're like, oh, it involves weight loss. I'm going to inject myself like to all hell. It's like, okay, we're all sick. Mm-hmm. But so now they get all this interesting information about how they could design them to like treat Parkinson's.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, I think like hopefully out of this anyway, because obviously there's like controversy around like some people who probably don't need it taking it, these sort of things. But if now these like larger populations were revealing like what can it actually be useful for?
Yeah.
That's really cool. Not to say it's not useful for many people as well in like the weight loss department. I just mean I know that.
Or for diabetes.
With a lot of like celebrities and stuff, there's been takes that like they didn't need it. You know, like they weren't like an unhealthy weight necessarily.
Okay. Absolute slay.
And do we know what the upcoming are? Or?
No, we don't.
Okay. Well, send some suggestions in.
Yeah.
Whether through a message on you know, asapscience.com/chat. You can send a voice message if you want, or if you go on, I don't know, Instagram, or people sent go to our website, asapscience.com. You can always like message us through a form there and send us your ideas if you want us to chat about something.
Also, puss.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.